रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 99 भरत मीट्स राम. रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Having assigned suitable quarters to the troops, Bharata, impelled by his desire to see Rama, said to Vasishtha, "Holy sir, pray direct the queens to follow us." He walked on very fast and called the attention of Shatrughna to the numerous signs that betoken the approach of the ashrama of Ram. Sumantra came after them, no less eager to have a sight of his dear prince. They had not gone far when they caught a glimpse of the abode of Rama, surrounded by the cottages of the hermits. There were two rooms, one for the sacred fires and the other to receive visitors. Piles of split wood lay around for lighting fires at night. Flowers were gathered and kept ready for the worship of the gods. Along the paths that lead to the river fords, the trees bore strange devices of bark and kusha grass to intimate the presence of the princes to each other. Dried dung of deer and ox lay in heaps to build warming fires in winter. Bharata's face wore a bright look when he beheld them. His heart danced with joy. He said to Shatrughna and the ministers, "I believe we are almost at the locality indicated by Maharishi Bharadwaja. The Mandakini must be somewhere here. Lakshmana has tied strips of bark high up the trees to guide him when he goes abroad at nights for fruits, roots or water. Our course lies this way, and this is also used by the maddened elephants when they tear about, wildly trumpeting along the base of the mount. Behold, the thick smoke rises from the Garhapatya fire, tended so carefully by the hermits morning and evening. It is no culinary fire, for there should be no smoke, but only flames. It is no sacrificial fire, for we would see cinders, but no dense smoke. I am about to stand in the presence of the Supreme Person, Rama, who led my steps into the Adityam of wisdom, from whom I received my sacraments. Like unto a Maharishi, he is crowned with every excellence of head and heart." They were at the foot of the mount by that time and on the banks of Mandakini. Bharata said to those about him, "The supremely effulgent Lord of the worlds has renounced the joys and comforts of life and roams the dreary forests all through me. That ideal king is seated on the bare earth in this uninhabited spot. Well do I deserve the scorn and contempt of the world. It makes no difference whether I am living or dead. So I shall clasp the feet of Rama, persuade him anyhow to return to Ayodhya. If Lakshmana charges me with the perfidy of Kaikeyi and says, 'Brother, you but waste your compassion on him,' I shall even throw myself at his feet, though he be younger in years. For mighty is the issue that depends on it. If I fail to win him over to gentleness and sympathy, I shall lay my feet at the head of Sita, the mother of all mercy, and entreat her to intercede for me with her lord." Thus raving on incoherently, he drew near the lovely cottage of Rama. It was very spacious and was thatched with the leaves of sala, tala and other trees. Soft kusha grass was spread on the floor as on an altar in the sacrificial hall. The place was bright with the sheen of bows inlaid with gold, the mighty messengers of sure death to those against whom they are bent and capable of working impossibilities, even like a vajra of Indra. Terrible arrows peep from the quivers with blazing mouths like the rays of the morning sun or the great serpents that range Bhogavati, the capital of the Nagas. Swords, exquisite of temper and curiously wrought, gleam from the scabbards of fine gold like lambent lightnings darting through the golden clouds. Broad shields hung aloft, wondrously chased with gold, and there were finger guards of iguana skin decorated with gold. Foes dared not raise their eyes to the lovely cottage, as deer shunned the lair of a lordly lion. To the northeast of it, there was a low platform with an altar upon it, where glowed the sacred fires. On close observation, they beheld a great one seated within the hut. He was clad in the garb of hermits and deerskin and dress of bark, and wore his hair in matted coils. Like a flaming fire looked he, crowned with a halo of blinding glory. And Bharata made him out to be his beloved brother, Sri Ramachandra. With long and mighty arms reaching below his knees, with powerful chest and shoulders like those of a lion, with large and lustrous eyes resembling the petals of a lotus, Raghava, the lord of the world, was seated on the bare earth spread with kusha grass, Sita and Lakshmana a little in the rear like the eternal Brahma. Overcome with grief and sorrow, Bharata rushed towards him. All unmanned, the blinding tears almost choked him as he cried, "Alas, that I should live to see the wild beasts of the forests paying court to my brother, whose feet the citizens of Ayodhya contended to have the honor of touching in the hall of audience. Woe is me when the lord of wealth, clad in priceless garments, covers his limbs with deerskin at the call of Dharma. Ah me, that the lovely locks, ever crowned with bright and fragrant flowers, should be coiled in dust and dirt. Instead of laying up merit by yagas and yajnas as the Vedas enjoin, he is driven to mortify himself and observe fasts and penances at the period of life least fitted for it. What terrible sin have I committed that my eyes should behold dirt and dust cake his limbs, which erstwhile were smeared with rare and priceless sandal paste? Ramachandra, formed to enjoy every luxury and comfort, has been forced to undergo all this misery and trouble. Fie upon this wretched life of mine that the meanest in the world regards as below contempt. Far better that I were dead and forgot." So sobbing and wailing out of a broken heart, he rushed forward to grasp the feet of Rama, but blinded by tears, he groped wildly and fell down in a faint. He was just about to cry, "Brother!" and no more. Shatrughna, more master of himself, clasped the feet of Rama, voicing forth the grief that tore at his heart. Ramachandra raised them up, clasped them to his heart, and for all his iron fortitude was unable to keep back the burning tears. The meeting of Rama and Lakshmana with Sumantra and Guha resembled the conjunction of the sun and moon with Venus and Jupiter. The sight of the noble princes, like unto the lordly elephants, meeting one another in that lonely forest and sorrowing piteously, was too much even for the rough dwellers thereof, who could not restrain their tears. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdehe Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarvabhaumaya Mangalam.